It is a pleasure to introduce our next instructor based in New York. Stephen Keel is the President and Chief Investment Officer of Arquitos Capital Management and Chairman of Enterprise Diversified, a public company listed under the ticker symbol SYTE. Steve is also Judge Advocate in the Army Reserves, a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom, and currently holds the rank of major. Prior to launching Arquitos Capital in 2012, Steve was an attorney in private practice. He's a graduate of George Mason School of Law and Illinois State University and is a member of the bar in Washington, D.C. Those of you who've been with us in the past will recall that Steve has shared his insights and ideas in the past, and we are truly grateful to have him with us again. Steve, on behalf of the MOI Global Membership Community, a very warm welcome, and I'll turn it to you.
Well, thank you, John. Always a pleasure to be here, and it's gotten such value out of the community. So thank you for all your efforts on that. I'm happy to present a company called Westaim today, and we little bit of an overview as we get into it. What I decided to do, because Westaim has been written up a few times before, there's a lot of great information out there that I will give an overview, certainly of Westaim, and it's especially attractive today because of the stock price has dropped. But the highlight here, and I think the differentiating piece of this presentation that was very interesting to do, and I'm excited to share, is an interview with Rob Kittle, who's Westaim's Chief Operating Officer. So we've got about a 25-minute interview with him later in the presentation. So before we begin, a little background here of Arquitos Capital. This is a fund that I started in 2012, as John has mentioned. Our approach is really it's concentrated. It's looking for companies with a lot of alignment of interests. And so Westaim definitely fits the bill here. We have high insider ownership, investor-friendly policies, et cetera. You know, we're passive shareholders in these types of public companies, and so you need to be careful about being treated right by the management and to be able to make a judgment on the capital allocation skills of the management. And so Westaim, as we get into the history, we'll see what they've done in the past, how effective they've been at creating value for shareholders, and how they've treated us fairly. So I a few years ago presented a company called MMA Capital, which you still own, and it has the idea of this balance sheet to income statement investing, where you buy a company because of its balance sheet characteristics, and multiple valuation on those on the balance sheet, and then you know, and you have potential for this transition into income statement characteristics over time. And Westaim is similar to that. You know, we're trading here at a below book value multiple. It's has safety on that downside, and then on the upside, as part of the transition into the income statement side, got several levers that they're can pull, and in fact have already been pulling to generate free cash flow and attract those investors who'll come along in the future that might value it at a multiple of some sort of income statement characteristics, such as free cash flow or otherwise. Westaim right now, even though it has been written up a couple times in the past, it's especially attractive now, and this is why I wanted to highlight it as my best idea for 2019, because the price has dropped, the stock price has dropped, but the value of the company has increased. And so, you know, part of kind of my investment approach as well, on the risk management side, is to assess that probability of permanent capital loss. And here with Westaim, the probability of permanent capital loss is very low, especially at this price. And you know, the downside at any given time because of volatility is not that's not risk. It's, you know, I don't think any of us as value investors view the volatility as risk, and we view it as an opportunity. And here, the drop in price over the last year or so with West Aim has really given people an opportunity to get into a safe investment with some great long-term potential. And so I did mention that it's been written up. Toby Shute, a friend of mine, wrote it up. And I think it's involved here with Manual of Ideas back in 2014, 2015. I highly recommend taking a look at that. And I have a resource page at the end of the presentation with links here. And if you look, if you're interested in looking deeper into the company, I'd recommend taking a look there. Steve Vaffier has written something earlier this year, Chris DeMuth, and Dan Zorn from Arena Group, a subsidiary here of West AIM, did a great interview in 2017 also. So as we begin, West AIM is a Canadian company, so I've tried to present the stock price and book value, et cetera, in Canadian dollars. The exchange ratio today, earlier today when I looked at it, was $1.36 US to Canadian, so keep that in mind. But I own it on the Venture Exchange, Toronto Venture Exchange. I think there's a lot more liquidity there, although there is a little bit of trading on the US OTC markets as well. So West AIM has two subsidiaries. There's Houston International Insurance Group, we'll call that HIG. They're a specialty P&C insurer, and then Arena Group, which is investment manager focused on credit products. But the third piece of it, and that's where there's really interesting opportunity in the future, is this relationship they have with Fairfax Financial. Fairfax has an investment with West AIM's corporate entity, but then they also have an investment in Arena Group, in an Arena fund as well. And you know, West AIM has really done a great job with building partnerships through the years, funding partnerships, and you know, they'll continue to look for acquisitions or other joint ventures in the future. And so those relationships that they have with Fairfax and other funders could really come into play going forward. And I'll mention a little bit here in the history. Goodwood, which is a Canadian investment firm, very successful long-term firm. I think it was mid-90s when they started. They actually were the ones that found and took over West AIM. And Goodwood has a very nice write-up in 2017 in their annual report that references their view on West AIM, and that's a really valuable thing to look at because we get the opinion of someone who is obviously has significant knowledge and insider status with the company. In 2010, West AIM acquired Jevco Insurance from Kingsway Financial. Here you see the details on the screen. That was a really opportunistic acquisition, and to demonstrate West AIM's strength at building partnerships and funding relationships, Alberta Investment Management, the pension fund in Canada, backstopped an equity raise to pay for that. And then less than 2 years later, West AIM received an unsolicited bid and sold Jevco at that 530 million Canadian. So obviously a tremendous return over a short amount of time. And then West AIM turned around and returned the capital to investors and returned to its shell status. You know, kind of showing that they didn't want to sit on this pile of cash, you know, as they looked for the next kind of phase of West AIM's growth or West AIM's opportunity. So they returned the capital in a very tax-effective way, and they knew when they found something again in the future that those investors would want to partner with them again, which they did. So in 2014, that's where we began kind of the modern era of West AIM, so to speak, where they partnered with HIG and Stephen Way. Stephen Way, as many of you may know, was the founder and longtime operator of HCC Insurance, very effective operator for many, many years. And then in 2015, West AIM partnered with Dan Zwirn. Dan, also very effective investor, credit investor. Had built up DB Zwirn Associates in 2001, and later wound up operations in 08, had a very strong track record. And with West AIM has assisted on the operational side while Dan and his team focus on the investment side there. And then that relationship with Fairfax was in 2017, where Fairfax made the strategic investment and again put some capital into an arena fund. So a little bit of HIG here, because this is a huge catalyst for West AIM. HIG has received several, as you see here, several unsolicited offer inquiries, offers, et cetera. They announced that earlier this year. And all indications seem to be that HIG is, or West AIM is looking to sell HIG, sell their investment in HIG, or look at any other kind of value producing opportunity. In June 2018, HIG retained Credit Suisse. The interesting comment there is that they're we're looking for a majority investor to support a subsequent IPO. So there really hasn't been any information since then, and this is all kind of sitting in the ether. But here it's been 6, 7, 8 months plus, and we have HIG out there, basically looking for strategic alternatives. Here's a profitable specialty P&C insurer, and it certainly is worth more than what West AIM holds it on the books for. So West AIM values its stake at 1.1 times book, which works out to about $1.55 Canadian a share of West AIM. You can see here, my view is that they would sell it at 1.8 times book. They would sell their stake. There have been, I mean, Goodwood in their commentary mentioned 1.6 times book. There have been analysts who've said anything from 1.4 to 1.8 or higher. So of course, West AIM's not a forced seller by any means, but I think there's no doubt we can see here that the value of HIG is higher than what West AIM holds it on the books for, and potentially significantly higher. And operationally, HIG has done well. Combined ratio is has been decreasing significantly over the last few years. Right now, it's a little bit below 97%. Written premiums, gross written premiums have increased, each year. Looking backwards, $661 million, this is U.S., is their highest yet. And then the third part is that they've really increased their written premiums on specialty lines, which should support really higher valuations there. What West AIM holds HIG on the books is certainly there's more value to that. And there have been other companies sniffing around there. So this is one of those situations where we'll wake up to a press release one day that there's been some sort of transaction related to HIG. And it's really hard to imagine a transaction that does not provide value and potentially significant value to West AIM as a whole. And then Arena Group, this credit fund with Dan has been doing very well. Performance has been great. They have a unique niche because of their flexibility, their creativity, the direct relationships and internal sourcing that they do. So they have a lot of diversity in the portfolio itself, and there's a lot of potential as assets continue to grow. As many of you know, when you're dealing with credit and the size of the team and the expenses related to kind of building out what's necessary to be effective there, the assets really need to grow to support that. And they are at a size, they're approaching about $1 billion in AUM, where each dollar raised going forward is profitable. So we're right on the cusp of really providing additional value to West AIM through Arena. So Arena consists of three entities. There's Arena Finance, and that's internal capital, including some West AIM internal capital. West AIM holds their position there, their value at 220 million Canadian. And then Arena Origination is their sourcing arm. As you can see, West AIM stake is at 48 million. But then Arena Investors, that's the outside capital. So there's funds, separately managed accounts, et cetera. West AIM does not currently provide any value, and there's no book value there currently. And certainly as the assets continue to grow, Performance continues to be very good. That upside could really be astronomical. So again, they're approaching $1 billion in assets, and a couple really positive developments over the last year. Obviously, they've gained some more publicity, some interviews. They've gotten some recognition, and Zwirn has gotten some recognition as well. But earlier this year, Parag, or earlier 2018, Parag Shah joined Arena to head up their marketing efforts. And this was a very significant addition to the team. I know Parag personally. I have a lot of respect for him. And he had a really great career previously at Bridgewater for 15 plus years as their head of marketing. So, obviously, Bridgewater's size, all of that experience, and the things he learned there, he's bringing over to Arena. And from what I've heard with discussions with West Ames management is, they're really happy about the job he's done. And there's a lot of kind of a foundation, strong foundation has been built for, a ton of great potential going forward. So that's an exciting development to happen over the past year. And, it's going to take some time for that to have an effect on AUM, but we can see, over the next 3 to 5 years, we're really going to have my view is an impressive improvement in AUM. Okay, and then before we get into the interview with the COO, just briefly want to discuss the valuation because the price is really the stock price has declined significantly. It's down 22% in 2018, but book value has continued to grow and the stock price has gone down. And so back 3, 4 years ago, when Toby first wrote this company up, we now have even more safety to buy it now. I certainly acquired my West Ames shares in full allocation at a significantly higher price than today. And this is a great time to be able to add to the position or for people who are just first coming across West Ames today. To look into it and see if this is a great fit for your portfolio. Again, the safety here has to do with that margin between the book value and even adjusted book value and the current stock price. If HIG sells for 1.4 times book, for example, you have a stock that's now trading at 74% of that adjusted book value. If it does sell at that 1.8 times book, and it would add 98 cents a share. To book value, we're talking about something trading at 63% of book. And that really gives no credit. Again, book value gives no credit to Arena investors and the future potential there. So my view is that you have this kind of lottery ticket, so to speak, and especially with this relationship with Fairfax and other funding partners. But there's also a lottery ticket aspect with the AUM growth of Arena, except for the odds of it happening are significantly higher than even. And so you have the downside protection and this really significant upside potential in a few different areas, not only with the sale of HIG, but with Arena's growth and any future transaction that they happen to do with some of their funding partners like Fairfax. And so, my view has always been you want certainty on the downside, and you can have then some unknowns on the upside. And here we certainly have that downside certainty. In my view, certainly book value right now at 310, it's worth at least that. And I think adjusted, you have to adjust for a HIG transaction or what HIG's current value is, even if you give no additional value to Arena investors. And so, you're at 350 or above per share, and again, it's trading at 258. I think, my view is you have to adjust. If you adjust for the HIG sale, even at 1.8 times book, $4 plus is probably fair value right now, and that's subject to future decisions made by West Ames. So, again, from there, with future transactions. West Ames Management has done three transactions in 9 years, three really significant transactions. They've always been able to raise capital for those. And chances are they'll do something significant again, even in addition to HIG. They'll do something probably in the asset management area over the next 3 to 5 years as well, and we'll look back and really see additional significant value added to the company. So with that, I want to kind of turn it over to a pre-recorded interview that I did with Rob Kittle, and then after that, we'll kind of kick it back to John, and happy to answer any questions.
I'm happy to have Rob Kittle with us. Rob has been the COO of West Ames since 2013. He had joined the Canadian investment firm Goodwood in 2002 and was a partner and portfolio manager there. Rob played a central role in the development and growth of West Ames beginning in early 2009 while still at Goodwood. Rob has served on several corporate boards. Most notably, he currently serves on the board of Constellation Software. He's an accountant by training and is a CFA charterholder. Rob, thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate the time.
And to begin, I think the first question, I think it'd be interesting for everyone to hear about your personal background and your history with West Ames.
Sure. As you indicated in the introduction, I'm a chartered accountant or chartered professional accountant by training. I spent the first part of my career with my largest client, which was a real estate firm called Cadillac Fairview. Where I was in the investment area, buying and selling shopping centers and office buildings. From there, I transitioned into the investment business and spent 10 years from 2002 to 2012 with Goodwood. Goodwood is a equity long short, value oriented, concentrated position, I guess, money management firm. We built the firm with myself, with three other partners, Peter Pacetti, who founded the firm, Cam McDonald, who is my current partner and the CEO of West Ames, and another partner, Kurt Cumming. We built the firm from sort of 2000, I guess. Peter started the firm in 1996, Cam joined in 2000, and I joined in 2002. And in 2008, when the world was a different place, we were looking at different investment opportunities at the firm, and we started looking at stocks that were trading below their cash. So going right back to the net-net Ben Graham philosophy and looking at a bunch of opportunities that way. As you know, typically these opportunities don't present themselves very often. There was a host of those in 2008. We were able to acquire a number of companies that were in that position. One of those companies was West Ames. At the time, it was approximately a $20 million Canadian market cap business. It had about $40 million Canadian of cash plus some other assets as well. We were able to acquire in the market approximately 20% of the company. That's really how we ended up getting involved at West through Goodwood in West Ames, sort of from there started our journey with West Ames moving forward.
Sure. And so in 2008, it sounds like you had several of these companies, the net nets they'd owned, that we're looking at seriously. Why West Ames? Why did you choose that one, and why go forward with the idea of a permanent capital vehicle over time with it?
Sure. So we ended up looking at the whole environment in both the United States and Canada, and looking at where the net nets were, and there was, by our screen, over 2,000 companies trading below their cash at the time. But a lot of those companies had either significant liabilities associated with them that were off balance sheet. They were burning a lot of cash flow. So we narrowed that down to a very small number of very good businesses that didn't have those types of issues. And we ended up buying probably a half dozen to a dozen of those names, all of which ended up being reasonably successful investments. And one of those was West Ames, and it was quite near to us in Toronto. It was head office in Calgary, but that management team had been out of Toronto. And we knew sort of tangentially the chairman of West Ames, Mr. Ian Delaney, And so we visited with Ian and wanted to understand after we had bought the position what the plan was to move forward. And given the number of opportunities that were available in the market at the time, and given the fact that West Ham at the time was in a transition phase and it had over $100 million of tax losses, and it was a permanent capital vehicle, as you point out, there was a desire on behalf of the board of West Ham to try to move forward and do something with it. And so, to make a long story very short, in early 2009. The board made Goodwood senior management of the company through a management services agreement, with the intention of us going out and finding unique and desirable investment opportunities for West Ham to pursue.
Sure. Okay. And clearly the Goodwood is a driver. You have a long history there, and you were part of the team. That is a catalyst, I guess, for the culture, not only for West Ham, the culture for Goodwood from the early beginning, and a lot of that it seems to have carried over to West Ham as well. So can you talk about kind of that, the culture, not just with West Ham in the last years that you've been there, but how that culture and experience and kind of capital allocation approach. Going back to when you first joined Goodwood, and you could kind of talk about that and talk about kind of your experiences with that culture and the observations for like the way you approach risk management, for example.
Sure. Goodwood was a very successful firm, but early in its development when I joined in 2002, and we were able to. Grow the assets under management through the 2002 to 2008 period significantly, pursuing a value-oriented approach, long-term orientation, active approach, where we were quite active with the companies that we selected to invest in, and we took relatively concentrated positions in both Canada and the United States. And so we spent a lot of time looking at the different businesses that we were investing in, and we managed risk management through managing permanent loss of capital, with volatility being a much more secondary measure of risk. With respect to capital allocation, we really were looking for the best ideas we could find, and if we found two or three or four really good ideas in any one year, that was a pretty successful year. And so that's how we constructed the portfolio at Goodwood. And really, if you think about the way that it's gone through to West Ham with the involvement of Cam and I, and Peter was involved in West Ham as a board member until a couple of years ago as well. We brought that philosophy to West Ham. If you look at the investments that we've made, really three principal investments, and we'll talk about them, I'm sure. Jeffco Insurance in 2010, Houston International Insurance Group in 2014, and the establishment of the Arena Group in 2015. All of those are what I would consider value-oriented investments with unique situations where we're able to partner with management teams to try to pursue a strategy that could create value for West Ham shareholders. We did a number of active type situations when we were at Goodwood. Pursuing the same philosophy with management teams and with boards to try to unlock value.
Sure. So let's talk about those three, major holdings of West Ham. The first one, Jeffco, which from an outsider's perspective, from a passive shareholder's perspective, set the tone of what West Ham was going to be. Jeffco acquisition was made from Kingsway, and then was sold. A few years later, a year and a half later or so, at a tremendous profit. But the interesting part there is what you did by returning capital to shareholders at that time. So could you kind of talk through the Jeffco deal and the thought process with not only selling it, but also returning capital to investors after that sale?
Sure. So as I mentioned earlier, we were sort of appointed as senior management of the company, which was really a shell business at the time in 2009. We proceeded to sell off some of the remaining assets of West Ham And we're left in late 2009 with effectively a pool of capital, let's call it $50 or $55 million Canadian. And we were throughout 2009 looking for investment opportunities where we could deploy that capital. In late 2009, we were introduced to Jevco Insurance, which was the Canadian operation of Kingsway Financial. Kingsway was a U.S. and Canadian business, and it was having some difficulties in its U.S. business. Its Canadian business had difficulties, but had been cleaned up. We felt quite a bit. We felt it had a good management team to lead it forward, and Kingsway had a need to sell the business to solve or address some of the concerns it had with its U.S. operations. And so we moved very quickly, and were able to acquire the Jevco Insurance business at what we believe was an attractive price. Approximately 95.95 times tangible book value, and we announced that transaction in January 2010 for a total purchase price of about $260 million Canadian. And we financed the transaction by raising capital from backstop by Alberta Investment Management, and then from public market shareholders as well. So we did a total capital raise of about $275 million at the time. And closed the acquisition of Jevco in March of 2010. Through the next period between then and in early 2012, we were pursuing a number of opportunities in the property and casualty insurance space with the help and backing of AIMCo. We were quite close to a transaction in early 2012. When the largest property and casualty insurance company in Canada, Intact Financial, approached the board of Westaim with an interest in acquiring our Jevco business, it was unsolicited. It was not something we were looking to do, but the price was quite attractive for us and I think for Intact as well, given their strategy. And so we ended up signing a deal to sell the Jevco business for $530 million to Intact, and that transaction closed in September of 2012. So we were sitting on a cash pool at the time of over $550 million in a shell. The questions we had was what are we going to do with this capital? We redeploy it into another acquisition. There was a feeling amongst board members at Westaim and management that we would be under a significant amount of pressure to deploy that capital. We had quite a large success for our shareholders, and we felt that if we were to give that money back to our shareholders, that if we found something else to do, that we were willing to put our own money in, that the shareholders that had been with us through the Jevco experience would support us. Sure. And so in early 13, I think I can't remember exactly when, it might have been late 2012, we did a $520 million distribution back to our shareholders and really shrank Westaim right back to where it was prior to the acquisition of Jevco in 2010. We were able to do that tax efficiently, which was very important, and so that it would have it was effectively treated as capital and therefore tax efficient for our shareholders as well.
Right. And then after that came the relationship with Stephen Way and Houston International Insurance, HIG. How did that come about? And I guess what's your view, through the years with HIG and the relationship there?
Sure. So moving through 2013, we started looking for other opportunities to do with the $35 or $50 million of capital we had left at Westaim, through a mutual acquaintance that we obviously made a number of relationships in the property and casualty insurance space, introduced us to Stephen Way in the fall of 2013. Stephen had obviously a very successful and noted career with Houston Casualty Corporation, which is a business he started back in 1974. And this was his second business, Houston International Insurance Group. And he was at the time we met with him. He was looking for capital for two things. One was to acquire the interest of one of his large shareholders, who was looking for liquidity in the business. And at the same time, it had been growing quite dramatically over the last couple of years, and was looking for capital to support the growth of the business moving forward. You know, we had a familiarity with the property and casualty insurance space. We obviously had some success there, and we felt that a specialty P&C business was an attractive area of the P&C insurance space, and that Stephen was reasonably well positioned with Higg to take the business that he had at the time and continue to build a specialty platform that would attract significant value to Westaim over time. And so through a reasonably complex transaction, given that we didn't have the money, we were able to raise the capital publicly from our shareholders in early 2014, and acquire the interest from the existing shareholder, and we injected capital into Higg, which Houston National Insurance Group, we call it Higg. And we attracted a couple of partners, industry partners, Catlin Insurance Group and Everest Re at the time, that put capital into a partnership that Westaim controls that invested in Higg. And so that we closed that transaction in July of 2014. And currently today, the partnership owns approximately 75% of Higg. And Westaim's interest is approximately 58.5% of the partnership. So our look-through interest at the Westaim level is approximately 44%. And it's a business we control through the partnership that owns 75%.
Sure. And then kind of moving through the calendar, the arena is deal situation is a little bit different because you basically started or helped to start it with Dan Zwirn. And obviously, there's a lot of focus and optimism with Arena at this time as well. If you could kind of talk through that, how did you get to know Dan Zwirn, and how did that transaction come together?
Sure. After the transaction closed with Higg, Cam and I were looking at the investment portfolio of Higg, which was about $650 million at the time, looking at how do we try to increase the returns that we could generate from that investment portfolio. It had been kept quite short and high quality. As you well know, at the time, interest rates being where they were, there was not a lot of return being generated. And so we were looking for opportunities where we could increase the yield and return of the portfolio without taking a substantial amount of duration or credit risk in addition to what was being taken at the time. And so we were looking at a number of different asset classes, and one of the asset classes was alternative credit and private credit. And through another mutual acquaintance, we were introduced to Dan Zwirn. This would have been in the very late 2014, early 2015. Dan comes with a very strong pedigree in this space, having done it for a number of years, very successfully in the past at Michael Dell's family office, as well as Highbridge, and then his own firm, D.B. Zwirn. The more we got to know Dan, the more we thought that there was an opportunity here, certainly for us in the insurance space, that we could manage some capital in that way within the Higg portfolio. And that led to a broader discussion about a broader partnership, about building a business in this space. And that's what transpired in early 2015, and resulted in sort of our announcement in mid 15 that we had come to an agreement with Dan that we would raise the capital to help support the launching of Arena Group, which is an asset manager and basically a specialty finance company beside it, which is our capital, and really put Dan back in business so that we could continue to do what he had done previously very successfully, and Higg would be able to benefit from that and you know, generate higher yields. And frankly, that's exactly what's played out since.
Sure. So there's a lot more of, I guess, it's much more complementary than might meet the eye, you know, from an outside shareholder. So it's very interesting relationship there. And both with Wei and Zwirn, you know, there had been, I guess, some things that had happened in the past. And in a lot of ways, it appears that, you know, they've kind of rehabilitated their reputations in some way with Westaim. How is your view on that? Is that kind of an accurate assessment from an outsider? And how did you get comfortable? How did Westaim get comfortable with kind of both of their previous situations?
Well, I think you know, I mean, I think there's always circumstances that that you have to sort of look at, and you have to understand exactly what happened and what the circumstances were surrounding things before making judgment. And you know, in both cases, both Stephen's case as well as with Dan's case, we spent a lot of time looking at both situations, and in both situations came away from that, the work we did, speaking with, you know, a number of parties and doing all the diligence that you would expect, feeling very comfortable with the conclusion that these are partners that we wanted to be in business with, and that we felt had the opportunity to build substantial businesses based off their track record of success, and that that Westaim would be a good partner for them. Obviously, some of those things obviously gave Westaim the opportunity in the first place as well, and it's played out that way. You know, with respect to Arena, you know, I think the business has performed very well to date. You know, the number of opportunities from an investment perspective and a deployment perspective are excellent. They've built a great team and a great sort of infrastructure to help to scale the business. And you know, we're in the process of raising third party capital to support the asset management piece of the business. And you know, as the business, you know, comes up on $1 billion of assets under management, you know, it, as you know, the investment management business is sort of, you know, a very good business from an operating leverage perspective. You know, we believe we're getting closer and closer to an inflection point in that business that gives us some optimism that, you know, you can never know when this stuff's going to happen, but gives us some optimism that this is going to be, you know, move in that direction as we go into 2019. I think we spent a lot of time, Steve, with the diligence, and now that we've spent a lot of time with both individuals and situations intimately over the last number of years, we, you know, we certainly don't look back and think we made the wrong decision. It's quite the opposite.
Sure, and this is a great example, I guess, of the value investing arbitraging perception from reality. You know, to have the opportunity to work with both of them at the time that you did was because, in many respects, of a misperception, perhaps by others, and that's ultimately what led to the ability to have that opportunity there. So we're excited, certainly, especially with Dan and what he's done the last few years.
I think if you look at the situation, you know, if for those that spend the time to understand the situation and how things happen and played out, I think they come to the exact same conclusion, and that's our experience with certainly with Dan's business, and those that spend the time, you know, have no problem coming to the conclusion that we did.
So from there, there was an interesting transaction in 2017 with Fairfax Financial, and in a lot of ways, that transaction actually introduced Westaim to a whole new host of investors, American investors, for example, who had been following Fairfax. So it'd be interesting to hear about that relationship and how it came about, and what the goals are really for each party.
Sure. You know, I think I've known Fairfax obviously for my whole career, being a Canadian. You know, the Prem Watsa and his team, you know, Paul Rivette, Wade Burton, and Lawrence Chin, and others. And some of the more legendary guys, Brian Bradstreet and others, they they've obviously built a very successful business in the value philosophy. So it's something that we were obviously aware of Fairfax and understood sort of how they think and their philosophy, and knew a number of parties that had done business with them previous to. And I'd got to know the business and the management team over the last number of years. And I think, we're not looking for capital necessarily, but we felt that if there was an opportunity to accelerate West Ames' business plan, and it checked a number of boxes, that it would be something we would consider. And when Fairfax, really approached us in early 2017 about sort of a structure like we ended up doing, we felt that, their participation with West Ames over the long term checked a lot of boxes, from their investment in Arena, which I think helps, and will continue to help their portfolio from a yield perspective. They're a very well-regarded investor in the insurance space, and helps West Arena from that perspective. And for West Ames, we view them as a partner of ours that shares the same philosophies and beliefs, and will provide us with the opportunity to do other things going forward as the opportunities present themselves. They've been very good people to work with, and we would continue to think that they'll be good people to work with going forward. So, I think we felt that they would help us accelerate our business plan, and so we entered this partnership and feel quite good about it.
And the last question I have here, really, with Manual of Ideas, with this presentation, Manual of Ideas really has a great group of smart investors who I think would be interested in West Ames, and certainly learning more about West Ames, especially attractive at this price with the recent decline. Is there anything else that you would like to share with them that might help their understanding as a newcomer, an investor who might first be looking at West Ames right now?
I think that, I think our story, can be a little complex given how the transactions have developed. And, these are not the acquisitions we've done and the partnerships we've done, they are not off the shelf when it comes to their development. And that's kind of typical of how we've done things since the beginning. But, fundamentally, both businesses that we have never been in a better position than they are today. Obviously in the insurance business, the P&C business is far from being what I would consider a hard market, but it's in a better market than it's been in some time. With respect to Arena, I think the folks that really understand and get what we're doing at Arena understand that we're there's this, the label of their private credit, which covers a whole swath of different direct lending and leverage loans and other things like that type strategies. But the underlying strategy that Dan and the team at Arena are deploying, using a significant amount of diversification by industry, product, and geography, the credit statistics that they're able to generate through their origination pipeline, the use of joint venture servicing partners to leverage and allow us to get variable cost access to sourcing, which allows us to get, that origination capacity rather than doing syndication. All of these things make that strategy very, very compelling. And so I think that, learning about those types of things, I think, is very important to understand how we think about the business of Arena long term, and what that business could end up being for Arena as well as for West Ames shareholders. So, we feel pretty good about the position we have in both areas. And, we plan to think over the long term. At West Ames, we don't think in quarters. We think longer term, and we, with the intention of building value over the long term. With Arena, it's been a build from the beginning, and so we're starting to see book value growth start to develop within West Ames at a higher rate, because we're through that early stage growing pains, if you want to call it that, of building out a new business. But we did it with not a dollar of goodwill on the books, which for an asset management business is is very attractive. And so, you know, we feel pretty good about where we're going forward.
Well, great. Well, thank you very much, Rob. Appreciate the time and the willingness to share your perspective with us.
Not a problem, Steve. Thanks very much for the opportunity.
Okay, well, it was great to hear from Rob. I hope that was helpful to the listeners here. And we'll kick it back to John if you happen to have any questions for me.
Well, Steve, thank you so much, first of all, for sharing your thesis and then also this very insightful interview as well. Not sure that there's a lot of remaining questions. I think the discount to intrinsic value or NAV is pretty clear in this case, as well as the upside that might be coming from realizing some of the value. Longer term, how do you think about the value accretion over the next, let's say, decade or two? I know it's going to be lumpy, but is there a way to think about how that might unfold?
Sure. I mean, when you look over that time period, I think it's fairly clear that HIG is probably, you know, at some point there will be some sort of transaction. My opinion is it'll probably be a sale. And so if you remove that from the business, you get that immediate kind of bump in book value. You get a pile of cash that will come about from that. And then what they do with that cash is going to be dependent on the opportunity set at the time. I mean, certainly there's a possibility of sending it back to investors, but at this time, because of the relationship with Arena, there's also the possibility of reinvesting that directly in Arena for Arena to manage. And so, you know, when you that's kind of the next, you know, few years of what West Ham might look like. But when you look even further out, you know, you've got a young management team with excellent capital allocation experience. They have great partnerships, funding and otherwise, with some very high profile companies. And it's tough to predict specifically what might happen or what they might acquire. But it seems likely it'll be in the asset management space. You know, they've said that on their website and other materials that they are actively seeking other opportunities in the asset management space. Certainly their experience comes from that. And the management team here, Cam McDonald and Rob Kittle and the others, you know, helped to build Goodwood previously as well. So, you know, I think when we fast forward 10 years, could we have some sort of version, you know, when you think of like a Brookfield or something like that, could you have some sort of version of that is focused on certain niche areas, here credit, perhaps other equities and other relationships like that? You know, that's how I would view them operationally. And then what sort of valuation could you take from that? You know, I think book value here in the next few years seems to be the appropriate view and looking at the balance sheet characteristics. But, you know, over time, Arena gets larger, you're going to value it on some sort of multiple of assets under management. And of course, the NAV of West Ham's direct investment in Arena in the fund. So I could see that expanding and potentially expanding into other strategies as well. And you know, I think we're in the beginning of a long runway. We're at the top of the hill, so to speak. And there's a lot of opportunity to pick up snow as it rolls downhill.
And Steve, how is Arena potentially affected by a rising rate environment, if at all?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's an interesting question. And you know, I think if you look back, first of all, you want to look back at Dan Zwirn's history. You know, he was very successful in a much higher interest rate environment before the crisis. And here, you know, most of their products, they are shorter in duration, although they certainly have the opportunity to have a variety of different things. And you know, the higher interest rate environment might give them a better opportunity for sourcing, for example, and to be able to offer credit to areas, situations that might not be well served by the traditional market, by banks and otherwise. So, you know, in that respect, you have a lot of variability there. You have some short duration. You have niches that they're lending in, things that are not just off the shelf that give an advantage. And certainly, you get a higher yield for that. And then the second part of that is they really have not used leverage in the portfolio previously. And there's certainly opportunity to do that as they get larger as well. So, you look at the downside as maybe economic activity might slow and default rates rise. That's something that is obviously you have to follow closely from a risk management perspective. And I think on the portfolio side, when you look at Dan's history, that gives you a lot of confidence. But that's certainly a risk to follow as time goes by, would affect NAV with regards to West Ames direct investment. But on the other side of it, if you have trouble in the credit markets, I think Arena especially is well positioned there. And so you might be able to have some assets kind of moving into Arena from other investments, kind of allocations move to Arena, which would be a huge positive for the company.
Terrific. Well, Steve, I'm going to leave it there. I would just encourage our members to feel free to follow up with you directly with their own thoughts and questions. Of course, we're happy to facilitate an introduction as well. Thank you again very much for being here and sharing such differentiated research with our community.
Great. Thank you, John. Always a pleasure.
Appreciate it. Bye for now.